Hey, hallelujah, and God bless you, and what a joy it is to be together again this evening and be able to open the Word of God. How about join me as I have a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight in great faith, and, believing and knowing that you have revealed your ways to us through your Word and through your Holy Spirit. We ask that you make us a quick understanding tonight, Lord, and give us the deep treasures of hidden things that we may know, that we may know, that we may know that you are the author of the Holy Word and the creator of life that we enjoy. So we come before you tonight with great faith that you will enlighten the eyes of our understanding, that we can know more and more about the hope that is within us, and about the life that you've called us to live. And we're thankful for the blood that was shed at Calvary so that we can enjoy all these things. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe last week, maybe I was sharing the story with you about how I gave someone a verse of Scripture that wanted to research the Bible. And I gave them Jude, verse 6. And when they began looking at it, they realized that Jude verse 6 is a very, very, very deep well. And I want to talk to you about this tonight because I'm going to use Jude verse 6 as a springboard to teach some things to you tonight on the subject of aliens. And aliens is an interesting subject. I got a note from one of our liberating partners here in the ministry a while back, and she said, when is Dr. Dale going to talk about aliens? Well, tonight's the night. And yes, I believe in aliens. The reason that I do is because the Bible teaches about them, and I'm going to show them to you in the Word of God tonight. And I'm going to start in Jude verse 6, and this is a very interesting tie-in to what we've been doing relative to studying the Word of God written in the heavens, because there appears from the book of Jude in verse 6 and also from 2 Peter chapter 2 that there is a place where there are angels that are now chained and are not free to roam. And in Jude verse 6 it says, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of that great day. And this book of Jude, that is the book just before Revelation, when we get to the end of the canon of the New Testament, has got some interesting usages in it. For example, in verse 14 of Jude, there's a reference to the book of Enoch. And these are some of the things that we're going to have to look into to get some deeper understanding about the subject of aliens. Now, there's an interesting study that we can do real quickly on your computer. If you'll type in the phrase sons of God and do a search on sons of God, you'll find out that there's 11 usages of the phrase sons of God in the Bible. There are five of them in the Old Testament and six of them in the New Testament. And the ones that are in the Old Testament where entities or things are called sons of God, they're not talking about people. And one of the major ones that I want to show you is in Job chapter 38, in verse 7. This is when God is questioning Job about the shallowness of his wisdom. But whenever he said to Job, in verse 6, where were you when the foundations of the earth were fastened, or who laid the cornerstone there? Watch this. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Well, now this is when the earth's foundation was laid, so this certainly predates the existence of people like you and me. And yet, here, these entities are called sons of God. And we also have another usage of this in Genesis chapter 6, in verse 1, excuse me, in verse 2, it says that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took wives of all which they choose. And when you go through and read this stuff about sons of God, you realize that there are created beings that Elohim has created that are not human. And Job 38, verse 7 calls them sons of God, also calls them morning stars. And stars are another name equivalent for angels. And here's my belief in aliens, and that is that aliens are sons of God. They are what the Hebrew word calls B'nai Elohim. They are sons of Elohim. And these, in fact, are the categories of what we're calling aliens. Now, this is a reasonably deep subject that we're dealing with here in Jude verse 6, because this says the angels, which kept not their first estate, and this introduces a subject line that is no secret for people that really want to search out and find out what this is talking about. But the angels that left their first estate is what Genesis chapter 6 is referring to, that there was at some point in some juncture a troop or group of angels that came down to the earth and indeed cohabited with women and impregnated them and formed a race of beings that were called giants. And you can find this storyline out again in Genesis chapter 6. So when I'm talking about aliens, I am equating aliens and angels. That the aliens that exist, they are alien from this world. They're not of this world, but they come to this world. And, you know, I know where there's at least one whose name is Yeshua ben Yahweh, who is coming out of the heavens and to the earth. And he is certainly an angel because he's not of this world, but he likewise is in it as well. And he shall be followed by a troop and group of angels and regenerated saints who have been counted worthy to reign with him. But this subject of angels and aliens that's in the Word is a cloaked mystique to most all Christian believers. I was looking and reading this afternoon in preparation for this in the Chronicles of Josephus. As you get on into the Chronicles on page 55, Josephus makes the statement that the translator of the book of Josephus makes the note that that before the Roman Catholics took control of the church, that basically everybody knew that angels had inbred people in antiquity. And this is certainly should be no surprise to any of us that are familiar with the story of David and Goliath, because we know that Goliath was an inbred. The Bible specifies that he was a giant, that he had six fingers on hands and six toes on his feet, and we know that he was a mutated being. When you begin to understand these things, it answers questions about why God was so direct and specific to the children of Israel to kill off the Canaanites. It's because the Canaanites and all the Ites, the Hivites, Jebusites, Perizzites, along with the Anakim, the Rephaim, and the Philistine, were all angelic inbreds. But the storyline behind this is quite intriguing. And when we realize from reading in Job chapter 38, verse 7, that there were sons of God or morning stars that existed before humankind did. And these angels, as we've been studying in our previous sessions, these beings that were angelic beings that lived in the solar system that we're in, whereas Lucifer was the cherub that covered, lived on the planet Rahab, and as the Bible storylines have told us for years in the past, that there was an attempted mutiny in heaven, and in fact, Lucifer endeavored to create a mutiny and take over the rulership of God, and as it says in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13, that he would ascend into heaven and exalt his throne above the stars of God, that he would sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. And this sides of the north, again, is an interesting usage of words because it gives us the indication of the circuit of the heavens or the precessional circle that's inscribed in the heavens that is made over a 26,000-year period. But mankind is really has been in existence here on the earth for only about 6,000 years. And this is very, 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 very young compared to the movement of our planets in the solar system. And so are there beings that have been here before us? Inequivocally, yes, they are. And are they still here? Well, it says in Genesis chapter 6, it came to pass in those days and after that also. And so the Bible testifies that there have been beings on this planet that are not of the same race and kind and kindred as we are. And how all this came to pass, we really don't know. We can theorize that there's been incidences that took place between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2 that caused the destruction, perhaps, of these beings' homeland, and then they have been roaming around wherever they can, trying to be fulfilled in whatever ways that they do. But the Bible is very clear in Jude verse 6 that there were some angels, and as Genesis 6 talks about, the angels that came down and cohabited with women. This is what it means when it says the angels which kept not their first estate. Now, their first estate was their level of habitation and the way that they were living. The Bible goes on to tell us in 2 Peter chapter 2, another very interesting verse, in that these God is going to judge these angels that sin. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment," then it goes on and starts talking about, "and spared not the old world." See, this is talking about the time of the flood that saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. These angels that came down and cohabited with women brought knowledge and technology of science and began teaching this to people along with not only those things but also the sciences of metallurgy, the science of music, and a lot of the other secrets that people did not have knowledge of. And not only good things, but also some very bad things relative to fornication and illicit behavior. They even got into cannibalism and manipulation of women. Just the entire knowledge that they brought down here corrupted corrupted mankind. when you read about these sons of God, these B'nai Elohim, the storyline of them is somewhat sketchy in the canon of the scripture. And yet, however, in the book of Jude, where it's talking about angels that kept not their first estate, further on in this book, there is a reference to the book of Enoch, as it says in Jude 1, verse 14, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed." I guess you can find out there, you figure out that they're ungodly. But these, when Enoch prophesied of them, this is written in the book of Enoch, chapter 1. 1 Enoch chapter 1, verse 7, and I have a copy of it right here but that I'm looking at as I'm talking to you. But the point that I want to make here is that when the book of Enoch and the book of Jubilees and other books were discovered in the Dead Sea Scrolls. It proved, in fact, that they were actually pre-Christian in their datings, because the Dead Sea Scrolls were packed away between 160 and 150, somewhere in that area, B.C., before the time of Christ, showing that there was knowledge that these books gave that predated the Roman Empire and gave insight concerning these things that took place beforehand. And the book of Enoch and the book of Jubilees gives a very, very clear-cut account that there were angels that came to the earth as aliens that came down, and they had the ability to procreate, and they in fact fathered what is called the Nephilim, and the Nephilim were the giants in the land, and they became the men of renown. These angels that existed in a in a previous world, in a previous cosmos, in a previous time, in a previous era, in a previous planet, are in fact what's called aliens, and they do exist. Let me share something with you that will sort of dovetail into some good understanding for us. When I began studying the subject of crop circles and looking at some of the formations that are taking place around the world, it's interesting that the crop circles begin showing up about 1980. But anyway, there's some mathematics on that that I'm not going to get into at this time. But these crop circles continually are depicting pictures of our solar system, and they're showing pictures of the solar system according to the position of the planets at the winter solstice of 2012. So whatever this 2012 date is, there are some aliens, some ancient angels. How about we use ancient angels as opposed to aliens, but ancient angels that are in fact trying to point the world to looking toward this winter solstice of 2012, apparently, that they believe that there's something of great cataclysm that's going to take place at that point, and it may very well be. And one of the possibilities of this is whenever you study the book of Enoch and the book of Jubilees, you find out that for these angels doing what they did, they swore a pact and a vow that they would do it together. And in fact, when God judged them for this, he sent them to a place called Tartarus. And that is the usage that is in, excuse me, 2 Peter chapter 2. In verse 4 it says, if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell. And that hell there is not Sheol, nor is it Gehenna, other words that are generally used for hell. But it is, in fact, the word Tartarus. And Tartarus, if you study, or Tarturo, Tarturo is used in other ancient languages. Well, actually, it's used in some of the other places in the Dead Sea Scrolls that were found, and also in some of the pseudepigraphal works. David said in the ode where it's quoted in the apocryphal books that whenever he would play his harp and quell the demons that were in Saul, that whenever he would play his harp, that it would quiet the chaos in Tartarus. Or in Tartarus. And this is a place where these angels were put. Now, there's a debate on where this place is. If it's in an actual subterranean cavern in the midst of the earth, or whether it is, in fact, an abyss in the heavens that is being kept off the earth at this time. There's not a whole lot of knowledge for me to make a conclusive statement on that. But I do know this from the Bible, from 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, and also from the book of Jude, verse 6. And I also know this from substantiating places, like 1 Enoch 18, and also in the book of Jubilees, in chapter 7, 29, there's a description of this prison where these spirits have been put. So not all the spirits, obviously, were put in this prison, because there's still some of them around today. But these are, in fact, the aliens that the world is continually theorizing over. You know, I guess by now I'm having to come clean and tell you that I'm not exactly a conspiracy theorist. I'm a conspiracy realist. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Bible, as it is in truth the Word of God, testifies of things that we really need to study and we need to understand. Categorically, most people show up to go to church on Sundays, and if they really study anything out of the Bible on Sundays, it's only what the denominational decrees wants them to study. What we're looking at here is some of the esoteric treasures, the deeper things in the Word of God, things that maybe, as the Bible says, that angels desire to look into. That we're having the insight in the Bible to be able to explore these things. But as we go back to Jude, remembering in verse 6 that it says that there is angels that which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. He hath reserved in chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day. And the great day is an interesting study also. If you just do a word search on the great day, you find out that the great day is the battle of Armageddon. So, in effect, what this is telling us here in Jude verse 6, that these angels are going to be judged under darkness unto the judgment of that great day. So there's going to be a judgment that is going to take place on them. And I'm going to show you what that judgment is here in just a moment from Isaiah chapter 24, verse 22. But these are the alien beings that are still in existence now. And so this raises a lot of questions that people have had about the subject of aliens and how governmental officials have potentially or intentionally withheld knowledge about these situations and about these creatures for fear of the fact that there would be mass hysteria that would take place in the world if people were alarmed to this or aware of it. My concern that I'm facing right now is that I believe that people are going to be made aware of some things that's going to take place on the earth, and that there's going to be an unfolding of knowledge as we come up on the end times, particularly as we pass through the year 2012 and head toward the tetrads, the series of eclipses in 2014 and 2015. But this is one of the reasons why I'd like to get out in front of the power curve and begin teaching God's people some of these basic things that have been hidden away out of sight and kept from the knowledge pool of the general populace, because we're going to be faced with some things as they come to pass on the earth. Now, having said all that, there's a usage in the Bible in the book of Revelation in chapter 9 that I want to call your attention to tonight. And it says in verse 1 of Revelation 9 that the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit, and he opened the pit. Now, and when you begin reading about this, there's a description of these beings that come out of this pit. Now, this pit is talked about in the book of Enoch, and it's also talked about in the book of Jubilees, which is where these disobedient angels were put. Now, this pit potentially is Tartarus, or Tartaro. And but one way or the other, there is a bottomless pit that where there have been beings or spirits that have been chained. And if you move on down and start reading the description of these beings that were in this pit, I'm postulating here that and from Jude verse 6, that the angels that kept not their first estate, but God has them in chains under darkness, I'm postulating and theorizing that this is, in fact, where these angels are chained. And that these descriptions here will, in fact, match the description of beings that were described in another book found in the Dead Sea Scroll called the Book of the Giants. It only had pieces of parchment found in it, but it went to describe that these angels, when they came to earth, not only did they cohabit and impregnate women, but also animals. And, you know, what a mess that was. And, you know, of course, we see a lot of these things in mythology, the indication that this really is true in the mythological sciences or mythological learning. But to continue this through here, and I'm theorizing that in Revelation chapter 9, that there is that this abyss, this bottomless pit that's got beings in it, that they that it's opened. And if you continue reading the descriptions of them, they look like they're half man and half animal, or sort, you know, as a hybrid or as a mutant. But to continue reading in verse 6, verse 7 says, the shape of the locusts were like unto horses prepared for battle, and they had breastplates and tails like scorpions. And, you know, some people theorize that John was seeing helicopters and stuff of that nature. Well, that's okay too, but, you know, if they're going to be helicopters and they're going to be war machines, then they have to come out of an abyss, okay? So then we've got to, so actually what this is literal interpretation and not some sort of figurative usage, that there are beings in this pit that are reserved unto judgment, unto that great day, and this is approaching the great day at the Battle of Armageddon. I particularly want to call your attention to Revelation chapter 9, verse 11. It's interesting. This is the 9-11 of Revelation. And talking about this abyss, verse 11 says, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Like it says, one woe is past, and behold, there comes two woes more hereafter. And this says explicitly, without any question, nobody can argue that the king over this bottomless pit is an angel. I mean, unless, you know, there's a different text somewhere that tells me that this word, that this angel, and he's given a name, Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Now, these are my belief, that these are some of these angels that left their first estate, that had been put in prison under darkness, in chains under darkness, reserved for the judgment of that great day. But let me show you a verse of scripture dealing with Abaddon and Apollyon from the book of Job. In Job chapter 26, verse 6, and this is the King James that I'm looking at here. But if you look in the New King James translation of Job 26, 6, and this is talking again, this is God dealing with Job and telling him these things. It says, the dead. This is in verse 5. The dead tremble, those under the waters and those inhabiting them. The word dead here in the Hebrew text, if you care, is the word Raphaim. And this is another name for the, it's the Rapha. This is another word that's used for describing angels that left their stars to state. There are Nephilim, Raphaim, Anakim, different aims and different heights and different endings of words. But anyway, it says that the Raphaim are formed from under the waters and the inhabitants thereof. Hail is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering. And if you look at this in the King, in the New King James Version, and potentially even in the NIV, the word destruction is capitalized because it is the word abaddon. And that's the word that, the same word that's used as is in the book of Revelation in chapter 9, when it says that this angel's name is Abaddon or Apollyon. And I'm looking at it here in my Bible program here, and and there it is. It's the Hebrew word Abaddon, it's capitalized. In other words, it's a place. Now the word hell is the word Sheol. And that is the basic word for Hades, or we thinking about hell or a place in the ground. This Abaddon that we see in Job 26:6 and also in Revelation chapter 9 is this word Abaddon, which is the destroyer, and it's in Hebrew, but Apollyon is destroyer in the Greek. Now, I don't want to get too far ahead of you here, because I am talking about aliens and angels, and this is this prison of evil spirits that was enchained because of what they did to the race of human beings. I believe that the Bible teaches that they're going to be released in judgment, and that they're going to come to the earth. They're going to be given specific parameters about what they can do and what they can't do. But there's a king over this abyss, and his name is Apollyon, or Abaddon. And these are angels, these are aliens, these are beings of a different kind that nonetheless are B'nai Elohim, and we have seen that there are angels that sin. So we can learn a little bit about these alien angels, and that is, we know they have free will. We know that some of them operate their free will and obey God, and some of them do not operate their free will and do not follow God. We also know that there are many angels that have obeyed God, and we believe that those that are with us are more than those that be with them. And we know that at the end, that the Lord Jesus Christ comes back with angels out of heaven to fight and to destroy this kingdom of the beast and the false prophet, and this 200 million being army. It's been an amazing thing to me as I've watched people interpret scripture through the years, how quickly people try to make this 200 million army an army of people from China or from India. But it is not people, and you can't make it any other way, and there is a king over them, and his name is Apollyon. It's interesting, and I must tell you, just in a synthesis statement here, and then I'll get back more to this stuff about aliens. I believe as we see the end times unfold and come upon us, that we're going to see a phenomenon take place that we have never seen before in the history of mankind. And that is, we're going to see an actual abyss open, a pit open, where there have been evil spirits of angelic origin, that we're going to see them loose. And, you know, if it's interesting, as you look in Revelation chapter 9, it says that, and in verse 4 it says, it was commanded then that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And the seal of God in our forehead, my particular belief is that the seal of God is the Holy Spirit, and having it in our forehead means that we have the ability to walk by the Holy Spirit in revelation. And this is what allows us to stay ahead of the power curve as these beings come to the earth. I have an interesting observation that I want to make at some juncture out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, because this talks about the end times and the apostasy and the son of perdition. And actually, the son of perdition, the word perdition is the same word as the word Apollyon. And it's very, 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 very feasible that this son of perdition is going to be, in fact, this angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is Apollyon or Abaddon. So, going back to Jude, verse 6, being our text verse for the evening, we're talking about angels which kept not their first estate. Now, I've gone through and done a reasonably credible job of showing you that there are beings that pre-existed before mankind came to the earth. I mean, we have fossils that document this. I was just seeing the other day, I saw a link to a YouTube posting of skeletons of giants that have been found. And I don't believe that there's any doubt but what, that there was a flood that came at the time of Noah. So why did God send the flood? Well, God sent the flood according to what it says in Genesis chapter 6, because it repented God that he had made man, because these sons of these B'nai Elohim, these alien angels, came to the earth and impregnated women and actually hybridized the gene pool of man and created chaos and disorder, and they taught how to make weapons and do all sorts of things and to manipulate people and send them into war. And for this reason, God put them in chains and everlasting, or in the chains of the age, under darkness into the judgment of that great day. I do have a theory in process relative to where Tartaro is, or where Apollyon, or where Abaddon is, that may be relative to the year 2012. But I want to share that for a different time. But I want to make you aware of this, that we are going to see, as we go toward the end of this age, we're going to have thrown in our face the fact that there are aliens. And this is something that I didn't want to deal with in my little Christian Southernese religious veneer. That I didn't want to deal with this. I guess I wanted to think that, you know, mankind was the only race and civilization of people or creatures that God had ever created. But my goodness, people, when you start looking at the vastness of the universe, my God, there are tens of thousands of galaxies in the universe. And in our galaxy, we know there's over 200 billion stars in our galaxy, in the Milky Way alone. So this is a pretty big and a very, 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 very old place. One of the Hebrew rabbis years ago estimated that the age of the universe was 15.3 billion years. Now, I don't know how he got to that number, but I feel pretty sure in saying that the earth is older than 6,000 years. And we need to get to grips with this, that the Bible, in fact, tells us these things. Now, we've looked at the subject of the planet Rahab, and I'm convinced that the Bible teaches that there was a place that was broken in pieces. And according to Isaiah chapter 14, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? So when Lucifer was cut down to the ground, he was ruling over nations, and he was defrocked and removed from his rulership there. And he is an alien. Hello? Lucifer is an alien. And so are the angels that kept not their first estate. They are alien to our existence, and, you know, in the fact that God created created the earth, and the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, we don't know what kind of beings lived here before we were on this planet. We don't know what they look like. They may, you know, they may have a totally different appearance. They may breathe nitrogen rather than oxygen. They may not even breathe. I mean, I don't know how God's unlimited in his imagination. I mean, go look at a platypus and tell me that, or a grasshopper. You know, this guy's got some architectural skills that we've never even thought of. But, you know, but there are things that we can learn from this, that there, these angels, these aliens have seen. And some of them are disobedient against God. There's going to come, and just let me share this with you. I may not ever have another chance to do this, but in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I'm operating on a supposition here, but I have been checking with some other researchers of mine down the line, and they believe that I've got a real good insight into this. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is warning the Thessalonian church that a deception was coming. And he said to them that concerning the gathering of our Lord Jesus Christ and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit. I think it's interesting that it says by spirit, because this is what I believe will happen in this time when this abyss and portal of aliens and angels are released to come back to the earth. It says that let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, I'm in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, that day, that's the day of the Lord, shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And that word perdition is the same root word as the word Apollyon. This falling away first is the deception that the man of sin will cause. I know that because I can read the context. But I see that when it gets down here, that tells us that that individuals did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. These are the ones that are deceived. These are the ones that the book of Matthew talks about, that is, in as much as the very elect will be deceived. Now let me tell you what I believe is going to happen, or is there's a potentiality for what will happen. When this Apollyon or Abaddon, this angel of the abyss, comes to the earth, I believe that this is the son of perdition. And the reason I do believe that is because he's been in this abyss, this chained up place under darkness, waiting for the judgment to be revealed. But when it says in verse chapter 2, verse 4, it says, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, there's more details here, but let me take you on a little rabbit trail here, and I'll bring you back right to what we're talking about. this son of perdition, this angel of the abyss, this angel Abaddon, the angel Apollyon, and who we have discovered here from verse 3 is the same word as the word the son of perdition. He opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. I believe that these angels are going to return to the earth, and that because of this strong delusion that God is going to allow to be sent to the earth, that these angels, in fact, are going to tell people that they are our creators. And that they will, this angel, Apollyon or Abaddon or whatever his name is, will sit in the temple of God and will tell people that he is God, that he is the one that created us. Now, a lot of this strong delusion that is being talked about here has been promulgated by a guy named Zechariah Sitchin. And Zechariah Sitchin is an incredible researcher, and he has researched the Babylonian and Sumerian clay cuneiform tablets and has given the story of the Nephilim when they came to the earth. And as far as I know, he may have done a reasonably good job of translating what these angelic beings want people to know, and they want people to believe. And what they want people to believe is that they are the creators. And I can very easily see an angel as an alien sitting in the temple of God saying, look, your DNA came from me. And in some regards, that is true, because they have inbred people on the earth, and there may be a likeness or a resemblance. But I want to show you something else here in 2 Thessalonians. And verse 5 says, remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? People, there's a lot of things that the Apostle Paul knew that we don't. The Apostle Paul wasn't run through the Roman Catholic filter. And in effect, when the Roman Catholics took over the rule of the church, they buried and hid any information that would give anybody any indication that they were going to be destroyed or defeated in any way. And that was one of the reasons for hiding Enoch and Jubilees and minimizing the truth of the millennial kingdom, because the Roman Catholics knew that their day would come to an end. Moving on down here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I want to show you that it says in verse 6, and now you know what withholdeth, that he may be revealed in his time. And this he is this son of perdition. And I really believe from biblical inference and deduction that this is this guy, Apollyon. I've got a good biblical text for making that connection from the relationship of the word perdition to the word Apollyon. But as this says here, that he may be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now lets will let until he be taken out of the way. And, you know, he who holds him down is going to continue to hold him down until that one is taken out of the way or out of the middle. And then, in verse 8 it says, and then that wicked be revealed. And here, this is in the King James, and the wicked has even got a capital W. So this is talking about the man of wickedness, the man of sin, you know, the son of perdition. And this, I believe, is this angelic being. And it may be, in fact, Lucifer himself. That I don't know, or it may be one of his henchmen. But it may, in fact, be the incarnate form of Lucifer. But watch this closely. It says, then shall that wicked be revealed. And see, revealed means he's been cloaked. He's been hidden. Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. That means he speaks and it's done. And shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now watch this. So the Lord is coming, right? Out of heaven, right? That's the parousia. Even his coming. Verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. This Apollyon, this son of perdition, has a coming. And I believe his coming is a counterfeit to the coming of Christ. But it says his coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth and have pleasure in righteousness. This lying signs and wonders is going to be done by this guy. This is an angelic being. He has knowledge of physics. He has knowledge of light and matter. He has knowledge about how to do lying signs and wonders. And it says his coming will be after or according to the working or the energized plans of Satan. So this strong delusion that is going to come to the earth, I'm theorizing and believing that this strong delusion will in fact be the lie that is told by this son of perdition, that he sits in the temple of God, he opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. So that he asks God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. People, there's nobody like that on this earth that can fill those qualifications. I mean, if the Dalai Lama comes around and says, okay, I'm really God. And you know, people know better than that because they know who his mama was. They know who his daddy was. They know that he's not God. But one of these angelic beings, as they descend from the heights above, would be a very good candidate for this. Now, so let me give you some summary here of what we're talking about. I started with the keynote verse tonight of Jude chapter, obviously one, verse 6, that angels was kept not their first estate, that God is kept in chains under darkness until that, to the judgment of that great day. And we know it's because they sinned and that he put them in prison. And this prison, I was going to show you this verse of scripture, this prison is talked about in Isaiah chapter 24 in verse, let's start in verse 17, because this is the judgment of God of the world at the end of the age. And what it says, we'll start in verse 19, the earth is utterly broken down, the earth is clean, dissolved, the earth is moved exceedingly, the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, it shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. Watch now in verse 21. And it shall come to pass in that day, and this is the day that the earth will reel to and fro like a drunkard. And this, I believe, is what's going to take place on the winter solstice of 2012. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. This means that the high ones that are on high, as it says in verse 22, and they shall be gathered together, and they will. The kings of this earth will unite with the host of the high ones on high to destroy mankind and to destroy even the Lord Jesus Christ and the armies of the angels. Verse 22 says, and they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit and shall be shut up in the prison. And after that day, after many days, shall they be visited, and the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed, and the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and before his ancients gloriously. But this, they will be put in a pit. And that pit will be the bottomless pit that will be sealed for 1,000 years. And after 1,000 years, they will be, after many days, they will be visited and let loose for a season. let me summarize what we've been talking about this evening in saying this. I wanted to talk to you about the subject of aliens. In summary, I believe that there are aliens. I believe that these aliens were actually created by God and that they are citizens of a different race, of a different place, of a different kind. And I believe that some of these aliens, there are angels that are good and there are angels that are bad. And but I really believe that the ones that are bad are trying to reveal this thing that's going to take place in the world in 2012, which was prophesied by the Mayan civilization that there would be a portal of evil spirits that would come again to the earth at that time. That was part of the Mayan belief, and the Mayan belief perfectly chronicles in time the arrival of the angels that left their first estate right around that time in the BC day. Nonetheless, these angels are aliens, and I believe that they exist. I believe that that there is secrets that our government has kept from us that they won't reveal to us. And yet, as we get closer to the end, you can even see the media begin to picking up on the subject of 2012. You can see all the other idealisms that are being promulgated, trying to show that day, the astrology, the other pretended arts and sciences of study will try to show that that day is going to be cataclysmic, and it will be. And I would not be a bit surprised to see this thing in Revelation 9 come to pass, where this abyss is open, this pit is open, and out of it comes all these creatures that go about to control the world. 200 million, as it's numbered later on, is a reasonable sized army, wouldn't you say? Especially when they got the tails, you know, the white scorpions and all the other things, but they've got a head over them, a king who is the angel of the bottomless pit. So I believe that we can very safely say that this angel of the bottomless pit is not from this world. And if he's not from this world, then he would then categorically be an alien. So I'm trying to give you some credence and understanding behind this alien stuff, and I hope to, before we get to the end of this, to put this whole thing together and give it to you in a package so that we will know what to do when these guys show up. Because having the seal of God on our foreheads is a promise to us that they won't destroy us. And in fact, we are still the individuals that Jesus Christ has given authority over this world. So where the rapture or the gathering of the church takes place during this, I'm not really sure. Some people like to theorize that the church is going to get gathered off of the planet before this takes place. Some people think that the church might be taken off in the middle of it or at the end of it. I don't know. I really don't. And I'm completely settled in knowing the verse, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And so I trust in the Lord about all this. But before this whole thing is over, and if in fact the myriads of eschatologists that believe that we're living in the end times, if in fact we are living in the end times, you need to get ready to see some things that you weren't prepared for. And this thing about aliens and angels is a big deal, and it's not going to go away because it doesn't fit with your theology that you got from wherever you got it. And bless God, you know, we have to be willing to open the Word of God and adapt our thinking to what the Bible says. I didn't make up the stuff on Rahab. I didn't make up the stuff about the circle of the earth. I'm not making this stuff up about angels. I didn't make it up. I mean, I didn't make up the Dead Sea Scrolls and the Book of Jubilees. I'm endeavoring to do good, honest research and give our college kids and everybody else that really wants to take a good look at this thing some good, fresh oil and understanding of what's going on. And look, if God reveals, as it says in the book of Amos, what he does to the prophets before he does it, somebody around here has got to get the revelation of what the devil's going to do before the devil does it. And we know these things are going to happen during the Great Tribulation. So there's more information on this we'll be getting into later on. As you go back through and read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, or wherever you read through, it may give you some more clarity and details and information. But, you know, guys that are doing signs and wonders and lying power wonder signs by Satan, it's just not anybody on the earth that's doing that right now. I mean, you know, the most powerful miracle workers are us. And there's nobody really that's challenging us for the lead in things of this nature. But whenever this angelic being comes back with the knowledge of physics and transforming light into matter and so forth, then we're going to see some lying wonders. And it does say that his coming, he's the wicked one whose coming is after the working of Satan. So be prepared. There's more things than what you know about that you learned about in Sunday school. And this is not Sunday, this is Tuesday school. But hopefully this has been enriching for you, that you've been able to wrap your fingers around some verses. If you've got questions on this, email me at drdale@lmci.org, and I'd love to go over some of the questions that I get the next week whenever I come on the air. So this has been a blessing being with you tonight. I was going to bring Brother Russ Chandler on tonight, but Uncle Russ couldn't come on tonight and do any Bible teaching with us. He had a prior commitment. But We've been into some good Bible tonight. Look at Jude verse 6 and 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 4, and you'll see that there are angels that are not of our race and are not of our kind that have been put in prison, and these guys are going to get let out one of these days on the great day, the judgment before that great day. So hopefully you've got some more verses to ruminate over, and you can look at the rest of the ones that I gave you as you're scrolling down the page and looking at the verses that I've covered with you tonight. Don't you just thank God and praise Him for His wonderful Word and the details of it? And I, again, I'm amazed at the manipulation and control that's exercised over people in the world. I mean, I wasn't actually even alive when the Dead Sea Scrolls were first found. I was born in 1949, and I didn't get to be very vocal enough at that time to demand a Congress to examine the validity of the finds in the Dead Sea Scrolls. But we certainly know that they are among the oldest writings that have ever been found, and they conclude categorically that angels did come down to the earth and cohabit with women, and that these angels, in fact, are the aliens that we are discussing and talking about. Look, they had to be created by God, right? I mean, they didn't evolve out of an amoeba or a paraglesian with a spark of lightning that happened in the cosmos. I mean, they were created, if they're created B'nai Elohim, and they have judgment coming on them too. So the angels which kept not their first estate are in this prison, and the theory behind all of this is that this prison is going to be released on the winter solstice of 2012. Whether that is the case or not remains to be seen, but I believe that we need to take off our rose-colored glasses and our Pollyanna smile and deal with the things that the Word of God tells us are real, and that is wickedness, death, destruction, morbidity, and dark times are coming. The day of the Lord is a gloomy day, a dark time, and there's going to come a serious message from God to the world at the end. He's going to allow strong delusion to come on the world, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised to see this strong delusion to be that we were created by angels. And that would be a pretty strong enough delusion that would sink a lot of believers to deceive the very elect. If they see lying signs and wonders done by the son of perdition, and that he's the angel out of Apollyon or Abaddon, and they'll deceive the very elect, and they'll say, yeah, that's right, it's true. We were created by angels, and they came here, and they've got the proof of this. But what people are ignorantly or ignorant and not aware of is that God created us, and then the angels did, in fact, adapt the DNA that's within people, and we know that that DNA is still going on in the world now because it was in the Philistines, the Anakim, the Rephaim, and it's a matter of record that they were not totally annihilated. So where is that bloodline? Well, it's moving somewhere in the world today, and there's even a possibility there's been other angels that's cohabiting with people even after the time of the flood. So more subject for a different day, but would love to entertain your questions that you may have for me. I love you all. I'm thankful for you, especially you college students, and I want to encourage you to take this information that you're learning and be bold as a lion. The righteous are as bold as a lion. The wicked flee when no man pursues. You don't have to apologize for being right, and you don't have to back down for believing in Jesus Christ. The whole world is poised and focused against the truths of Judaism and Christianity. But just let me tell you, we skipped ahead, read the end of the book. We win in the end, and we know who the Creator is, and His name is not Allah. And His name is not some angel from some abyss. Well, if He's an angel, then He's God, then how come He didn't come down here and show us beforehand? The reason is because He's been chained all this time. So, anyway, thanks for tuning in and joining us this evening. And it's always a privilege to open the Word of God with you, even in matters of Jesus Christ. And don't be deluded by the things and the lies that's coming in this world, whether they come from secular humanism or from a political party, or whether they come from children of the devil that are intentionally trying to malign the truth of what's being shared. And incidentally, I started one thing that I didn't finish, and let me finish this. This guy, Zechariah Sitchin, that's written these books, it's been discovered that he's a 32nd degree Mason and is in fact a member of the Illuminati, and they are using his works to create scare and chaos and mayhem over the world, and that's the general plan that the Illuminati is used to control the world, is to bring order out of chaos. So be very, very careful what you believe about Zechariah Sitchin and what he has written. The ploy of Satan is always to tell you the truth and then to put a hook in it with a lie and to bait you with it, and to the end that he catches you. So just be careful what kind of bait you nibble on material that's been written from that guy. A lot of wonderful things happening and circulating around, and it's a blessing to be involved in all these things. Thank you. God bless you. Please pray for me. I'm leaving tomorrow to go to Albuquerque. I'll be gone for 11 days. And so next week, whenever I join you, it'll be Dr. Dale Mobile teaching you from Albuquerque next week. So it'll be a blessing to be with you. And I love you all forever. And thanks for tuning in. God bless you in Jesus' name. Good night.